Welcome, Dr. James Beckett, Sports Card Insights. I want to thank my sponsors, Topps Panini, Upper Deck, Heritage Auctions, Huggins & Scott Auctions, Mike Stadium Sports Cards, Burbank Sports Cards, ComC.com, and Beckett Media, Beckett Grading, Beckett Authentication. So here's an episode for your listening enjoyment.
Your 50th birthday party.
You were mentioning in 1999, I wound up scheduling and announcing I was going to meet one-on-one with every employee we had. We probably had 150 at that point. And so that was a daunting task. I had Carol, who was terrific, my executive assistant, who scheduled them all, and they were pretty much back-to-back. That also signified my getting back a little bit more day-to-day, not day-to-day pricing, but more day-to-day operational concentration of seeing what was going on. My heart attack was in late 96, and I probably was disengaged for a little while in one sense. We had some new leadership in the company step up. And then when it was around my birthday time, it was time for me to get back in. And like you were saying about your ComC founder, Tim Goetsch, our mutual friend, basically, sometimes you just got to walk around and see what's going on instead of getting reports from your lieutenants. So I met individually with everybody from the warehouse to the vice presidents. And it was an eye-opener. And it was more fun than I thought. For some people, it was inquiring about family. But I wanted there to be a business component because I want to know what they're doing and what's bugging them. But also a personal, how are you doing? And then a family component, because we had a lot of just the family aspect. We've had people that didn't do well, great people who had a stint where they did poorly in their job because they had problems at home, either in their marriage or with a child or a elderly parent or something like that. To me, that's part of being an effective boss. You need to know the situation. So it was business, personal, and family. When you do that, 15 minutes just zip by, and then somebody else would come in and I'd have to recalibrate. A bunch of them were women. A bunch of them were guys. Some of them were guys born in other countries. I'm glad I did it, but it took a few weeks.
Hey, did I ever tell you that I was very frustrated? Not about that part of it, but about one part of your 50th birthday party. We were supposed to go to a miniature golf place.
Yeah. And that was canceled?
This is during almanac time. I don't get out very much during all of it. I was so looking forward to going to the miniature golf course. Ended up, it worked out fine, but I was just thinking, oh, this is such a good excuse to get out of the office and get my brain going again.
There's probably
the meeting downstairs.
Listeners are probably thinking, hey, Rich, just miniature golf on Saturday or Sunday. When in reality,
probably right. I probably should have worked. You know, they don't understand. You and I understand. It's like we did.
It was a 7-day a week thing, or pretty close to it. And evenings, it was sleep disruptive. I'd go until I couldn't go anymore in the days when I was doing. By 99, it was you, Rich. And so I sympathized. I didn't make that decision about the miniature golf. I was just the birthday boy. And when you turn 50, you're wondering, do you really want people to know your age?
You mentioned you were really touched by meeting with everybody in the company. I know we did our meeting after work, and I think we got for more than 15 minutes. It was like, okay, we can just chat.
I had a lot of interaction with you anyway. I mean, not that I was going to blow you off, but I wasn't in deficit. With some of these people, I really hadn't spent. When the company started, every time somebody was hired, and they usually were grouped into 3 or 4 or 5, I would go out to lunch.
I remember that.
The new employees of the month, let's say, because we'd hire 4 or 5 a month. Carol would set it all up and I'd go and we'd just have a discussion, a long, pretty casual lunch. But we'd go to a restaurant, get a little private room and just get to know each other. I'm glad I had those meetings because when you get above 50 people, it's hard. You get confused on the names sometimes. And some of them I played basketball with on the basketball court there. But others, they were in a different part of the building. They're working on the Pokemon stuff. I didn't have that much interaction with him. So to really lead the whole company, I really was in deficit with some of the people. After I did it, I wish I'd done it sooner. I thought, you know what? I'm going to make a few changes and I don't want to do it in a vacuum. I am not as close to it as some of these people. It's like going through the dollar box, Rich. I don't know where the nuggets are going to be when I'm meeting with 160 people, but there's going to be some nuggets in there. And by looking through the whole box, going 15 minutes with every employee, there's going to be some very pleasant surprises that are going to be fruitful and encouraging and helpful.
Speaking of dollar boxes, did I tell you the conversation I had with the guy that owns the tables? He's not sitting at the tables, the dollar box tables we went through, that his son is now an intern at Columbia. for the summer. We chatted for quite a while. He knew who I was for a long time because he would say, yeah, you would talk to so-and-so at the show. You talk to these people from Oklahoma City. I'm thinking, you remember all that. So it's amazing what people pick up on that you don't even know that they're picking up on.
He's a keen observer. He's not working the table as much as he's working, getting a sense of the room. So I think he's a savvy business guy, but he's the owner of that operation.
He is, and he's the owner. He's doing great. He takes a lot of tables at the Dallas Card Show. You and I are just at a little piece of it doing what we do. And he's got other tables too. He's got, I think, two pods.
Even though it's
a guy. Go ahead.
No, it's friendly, but it's business. It's organized. They keep it simple. It's something where he can have employees who are really sharp, can step up and say, I'm going to handle this. It's a large volume. If you had individually priced cards, you couldn't do it. You'd need three times as much staff. But it benefits us because we are savvy in the long tail. And it benefits other people who maybe don't do that, but there's a lot of stuff in there that's mainstream, that's new and shiny of their favorite player that they can get for a dollar or a quarter or whatever. So they've researched it.
They do a really good job. As a matter of fact, the last time when I checked out, two shows ago, as I said, the guy working for him, and he said, I can't do much for you. I said, I know everything's new with the table. I'm not expecting you to do anything for me. And he still did something, which was nice. They're very good at knowing what percents they can do to make you feel even better about your experience, or you would say lack of friction.
If you're going to come back to the show every 2 months and have the same location with different stuff, you want repeat business. They don't have to send me a postcard. I'm going to be there. I'm going to check it out. And if they don't have good stuff anymore, I don't go only to them, but I'm at the point now where I go there first because they've treated me right. And they are aware that in order to get people to come to Bargain Boxes, there's got to be some good stuff in there. But good stuff is defined differently by the different people that are grazing.
As you just put it out, and this is something about the 50th birthday party, treating people right is very important. We didn't really touch on this, but ComC, when I first came there, I was literally the first remote employee. For a couple of years, I was the only remote employee. And we ended up with a couple more in Dallas because a couple people left ID. And I said, Stefan can handle this. Angela can handle this. So we had people that could literally hit the ground running with their card knowledges. And it was like, okay, it's still a central office. We weren't yet comfortable having people work at home. So you got to come up to the office or come up as much as you can. Eventually, when the pandemic hit, everybody went home. So ComC was able to grow and become a remote employer to some extent. Now there's a lot of people working all over the place. And it's got to be hard for Tim and Julia and all the people in management. How do you maintain? We talked about you had one office. You had a couple remote employees, I think, at the time. I think we had a guy doing advertising sales in Michigan and maybe somebody in New York or something. How do you talk to everybody when you're all over the place?
I'm saying, it, even though it was difficult for me, it wasn't impossible because people just would show up on my doorstep from going down the hall or going up the stairs. I don't even know how people would do it. And Zoom is not the same. I was sitting on the couch or I was sitting on the chair and they'd be on the couch or vice versa, whatever. And we would visit and you'd be eye to eye. That's way better. I'm now figuring this out. Is it, you know, I started doing the pro bono consulting that you ask me about sometimes. And I've said, and I started my first recollection of doing that, even though I've always been a consultant, I started doing it more in earnest with Joe and being intentional about it in spring of 95. So this is now 4 years after that. But what that did is, and now I look back at that being like a long time ago, I went from being a sort of a possibly a workaholic to having a heart attack and realizing that I needed to smell the flowers and be a little more of a people person, even though I'm a friendly introvert. And so I'm now looking backwards, thinking of how many small group, one-on-one, two or three or four or five, smaller meetings that I've had. I've had thousands of meetings now, and some of them were with people I barely know. And so maybe that birthday present, so to speak, was a precursor and kind of got me warmed up because I don't remember having that many individual meetings in my life prior to that. And I think it was my idea. It wasn't anything that was forced on me. And me being a math guy, and actually, that's not the origin of the 15-minute podcast, but 15 minutes is a reasonable amount of time that you can unpack something. And for some of the people that went by so fast and I wish it had been longer, And for other people, it didn't go as easy, but we still had in common that we were working for the company and wanted to, nobody wakes up in the morning and thinks, how can I mess up today? They wanted to do a good job and I wanted to do a good job. That's part of managing, is helping people do good work. But I didn't expect the people that worked with us, the price guide guys for the most part, to keep the same hours. Yet when they went to a card show, that wasn't going to be a short day. It's probably going to be a draining day. You're on your feet. You're talking to lots of people. You're traveling. But it was enjoyable, I think. But I didn't want them to be gone from their families 1 weekend a month. That was my deal with my family. I was going to be gone 1 weekend a month.
With very rare exceptions, we were all 1 weekend a month. There's sometimes something weird could come up and it could be two. But for the most part, it was no more than 1 weekend a month traveling. And then there became less shows. And then it became easier to say, okay, let's travel because there are less shows. And then 9/11 happened. There was really a lot less traveling.
I think we did a good job of picking people who were passionate about our industry and had enough skill to be able to come in and help us price what was a huge undertaking. Thanks, Rich.
Okay. Thanks, Jim. We'll talk.